Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, March 12th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Wyoming's firefighting accounts are back in black after Governor Mark Gordon signed Senate File 152 into law yesterday. The new law adds responsibilities to the state forester with a focus on coordination and wildfire suppression. Gordon line item vetoed some provisions of the bill, including a loan program meant to help restore lands and fence lines after a wildfire. Gordon says a different program that became law last week, the Small Business Emergency Bridge Loan, is broader and available to agricultural operators. Gordon also struck part of the bill that would have ended the state's Large Energy Project Matching Funds program. The program helps fund research and pilot projects for emerging forms of energy, like carbon capture. The legislature tried to cut the funds of the program in this year's failed supplemental budget. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is set to reinstate thousands of workers laid off in February. That includes many hundreds of Forest Service workers across the Mountain West. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has reactions.
After he was terminated, Payette National Forest botanist Sidney Noble got a job as a ski lift operator at the Brundage Mountain Resort outside of McCall, Idaho. During his shift Tuesday, he learned that the USDA, the Forest Service's parent agency, intended to start paying terminated probationary workers like him this week and provide back pay.
I'm very excited about that. Yes, it's been quite the emotional roller coaster this past almost 4 weeks now.
The USDA says it will, quote, work quickly to develop a phased plan for return to duty. And while those plans materialize, all probationary employees will be paid. That comes after an independent federal board determined that nearly 6,000 USDA workers were likely fired illegally and must be reinstated. Noble got the lift gig to be able to pay rent for the time being in the pricey resort town. He says he spent a decade working toward a biology PhD that would enable him to work for the agency.
I want to serve the American people and work for our national forest system.
There's no place he'd rather work. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Secretary of State Chuck Gray is recommending the removal of the Weston County clerk from her role over issues with misprinted ballots in last year's election. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements has more.
Gray says his investigation found that Weston County Clerk Becky Hadlock's oversight of the November election amounted to misconduct.
I recommend the governor direct the attorney general to commence removal proceedings in district court.
The controversy began after Hadlock printed two batches of incorrect ballots. Some of those versions made their way to voters, leading to miscounts in races like House Speaker Chip Nyman's. Gray says he hopes Governor Mark Gordon acts quickly, but he has his doubts. 8 Weston County voters sent Gordon a verified complaint on the miscounts in December. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
Wyoming's legal battle over abortion access is officially headed to the state Supreme Court. The High Court scheduled oral arguments for April 16th in Cheyenne. Justices will consider whether Wyoming's two near-total abortion bans enacted in 2023 are constitutional. They will hear arguments from the state, which is appealing a district court decision that found the laws violate the state constitution. They will also hear from attorneys representing abortion access advocates and other national experts. The April hearing has been years in the making. It will be open to the public and be live streamed online. An opinion may not come for another 6 months. Chief Justice Kate Fox is retiring this spring, but she will still be a part of that ruling. Abortion remains legal in Wyoming in the meantime. A clinic in Casper is challenging two new abortion restriction laws enacted last year. That clinic, the only clinic that until recently provided procedural abortions in Wyoming, is trying to change venues for its lawsuit against two new abortion laws. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports.
Wellspring founder Julie Burkhart says the swap from Natrona to Teton County Court is because Natrona County had yet to respond to their civil suit, and the clock is ticking.
In the meantime, you know, we have not been seeing patients at our clinic in Casper.
She says that as of last Friday, Wellspring has had to turn down 77 potential patients seeking health care, including abortions, gender-affirming care, and general OBGYN services. That's after the governor signed a law requiring the clinic widen its hallways and doorways, among other regulations.
For us, being healthcare providers, time is of the essence. You know, we're heartbroken that we have to turn people away and refer them out.
Burkhart says Teton County District Court was chosen to refile their case because of the plaintiff's familiarity with the court after a judge there struck down two near-total abortion bans last year. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Comments.
Chronic wasting disease has struck another elk feed ground in Wyoming. Game and Fish reported yesterday an elk carcass was found on the Black Butte feed ground just north of Pinedale. This is the first confirmed CWD case on that feed ground. The news comes after the first ever CWD case on an elk feed ground was discovered in Scab Creek in December. Then in February, several cases turned up at the Del Creek feed ground. The disease is akin to mad cow disease. It's always fatal and untreatable, and the prions can live in the soil for years. The disease spreads easier when animals gather. Some research suggests CWD could topple the 20,000 elk fed in western Wyoming. Game and Fish has feared that for years, and last year they finalized a plan to reduce elk's dependence on the feed grounds. But because of public controversy, it won't happen quickly, and how it will be done is still unclear. Right now, the agency is monitoring herds and removing sick or dead animals. Spent nuclear fuel, or what many of us think of as nuclear waste, is building up at sites all across the country. And the U.S. is looking to consolidate it in one place. New University of Wyoming research looks at the pros and cons of developing the industry in state. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan has more.
How much would you pay to not have nuclear waste stored in Wyoming? $41? That's what the average person said in the new UW study.
About 40% of people were so against it they wouldn't put a number on it.
Alex Gebben is the lead researcher, and that 40% against didn't budge much, even when people were shown the industry is relatively safe. It's riskier to drive down the highway.
It's a more spiritual or social thought. It really didn't affect people who were already sort of opposed.
But Gebben found that the industry could create about 900 permanent jobs. Right now, Wyoming doesn't have the legal framework for storing the nation's nuclear waste. Two bills that tried to do that failed during this year's legislative session. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Uinta County first responders recently suffered a heart attack. Kind messages written on heart-shaped pieces of paper and taped to the windows of their buildings. The Uinta County Herald reports the Evanston Police and Fire Departments and County's Sheriff's Office don't know who perpetrated the attacks, but added staff and volunteers were touched by them. A Chugwater teacher has been nominated for a national award. The PC Record Times reports Prairie View Community School first and second grade teacher Alicia Raphael has been nominated for the Life Changer of the Year Award. The National Life Group Foundation recognizes K-12 educators and school district employees who are making a difference in the lives of students by exemplifying excellence, positive influence, and leadership. A former Wyoming resident has returned to his roots, bringing readers along with him in his sixth book. The Torrington Telegram reports Rusty Bradshaw grew up in Dubois. Murderous Reunion follows the fictional Craig Riley as he helps solve the murders of former classmates in Dubois. And according to Casino Zonder Registrati, Wyoming produces the fourth most NBA stars by percentage of high school athletes. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question, who was the only African American to travel with the Fremont Expedition? Send us your answers for this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll name winners next week. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.